your Holy Spirit speak to each of us in a very clear way as we worship you and study your word right now. And that you give each of us the faith to not only hear your voice, but to act on what you say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And on the judgment day, every person is going to bend their knee and bow their head and acknowledge who he really is. One of the keys, probably the most important key to living the life that God has for you, is acknowledging him now and not waiting till then. When you acknowledge in your daily existence that he really is your king, your Lord, your God, life changes. Because it dramatically impacts how you think, how you make decisions, how you invest your time. It shapes who you are and who you become. Shapes your life. And one of the things that's important for us to do is, if Jesus is going to be King and Lord in our lives daily, is for us to put forward the effort intentionally to be close to him. And today I want to talk about a spiritual discipline that I think is very helpful in our efforts to stay close to Christ and walk in intimate fellowship with him. But it's a spiritual discipline most of us don't practice, and some of us misunderstand, and others of us are afraid of. I mean, we hear about prayer, and we hear about Bible study and worship. We kind of get those things. But one of the spiritual disciplines that's so important that most of us really don't get, don't grasp, and don't practice, is this thing called fasting. And I want to talk about that today and help you understand from the biblical perspective that you can fast. Yes, you can. And it will make a difference in your walk with Jesus Christ. My first experience with fasting happened while I was still in school. I was pastoring a little church in Kentucky that on Sundays would have anywhere between 60 and 100 people in attendance. We decided to have a focus on world hunger one October, and on Friday we'd spend the day fasting. About 10 or 12 people participated out of that little church. And so we spent that day fasting, and then that afternoon I drove 4 hours to get back to the church from school, and we met together, 10 or 12 of us, and we had a dinner of rice. No butter, no mushrooms and onions. Just plain, unflavored white rice. And we prayed, talked about our experience, and that group of 10 or 12 after that gave an offering of $2,500 for world hunger. And for us in that little church, I mean, we only had offerings of about $300 on Sunday, on a typical Sunday. So, that'd be like our church, what would that be, $400,000? Pretty significant. And we just praised the Lord for that. And at that moment, God began teaching me about fasting. And I just want to encourage you today, as well as challenge you, to think about this and to practice it. A lot of people, when they hear the word fasting, react differently. Some of you are saying, it's not for me. You're absolutely convinced there's no way you can do this. Maybe because you think you're not spiritual enough, you don't love Jesus enough, you don't understand it enough, whatever the reason, you don't think you're the kind of person that can practice Christian fasting. Maybe you associate it with the mystics and people that you think of. You wouldn't use this word, but you would think of them as the super saints or whatever. And so you say, no, not me. I can never be that kind of person. Here's the thing. You don't have to be that kind of person to fast. You can fast. And in fact, fasting will help you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. no matter where you're at in your spiritual journey. Some of you say, I can't fast. You got health issues. But what I want to encourage you with is that there are different types of fasting. The only fast is not giving up all food for a period of time. We'll talk about that later. But there are ways that if you have various health issues that you can still participate with fasting. Not all fasts look identical. Some people are afraid of it, afraid to try. A lot of misunderstandings. I remember hearing about a Christian gentleman who went home and shared with his wife and kids that he felt God was leading him to spend some time fasting and praying. And as soon as he announced that, his five-year-old daughter cried out, "No, Daddy, don't do it. You'll die." She had recently learned that fasting meant you don't eat. And on television, she had seen a news account of a political prisoner who was on a hunger strike, and they used the word fasting in that story. And she knew he was really skinny and he was about to die. And so in her mind, that was the image that came. And she said, "No, Daddy, don't do it. You'll die." And some of you won't try it because you have some wrong images, some misunderstandings regarding fasting. Now, before we get to our text, which is Acts 13, on the back of your note sheet, your outline that's in your bulletin, go ahead and get that out right now. At the top, it says unhindered, Acts 13 and so on, where you can take some notes as we study. And I hope you'll jot several things down as I talk to you about. In a few moments, I'm going to give you some practical tips on how to fast. And I hope you'll jot those down. But if you'll flip that over to the back side, several scripture passages are listed that are examples of people in the Bible fasting. Not all the examples, but just some examples of people in God's Word who fasted. Started. The first one listed there is Exodus chapter 34, where Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai fasting when he was with God and receiving the Ten Commandments. And then Judges chapter 20, Israel lost a military battle and they fasted after the defeat. And then 1 Samuel chapter 7, they were fasting as part of repentance and asking God's forgiveness. 1 Samuel 14, they were in the middle of a war and they fasted as a nation. 1 Samuel 28, King Saul fasted because he needed a word from God, needed to hear from God. 1 Samuel 31 and also 2 Samuel 1 are the accounts of when King Saul was killed in battle and the people fasted because their national leader was dead. One of the things you're going to see is that there are a lot of reasons in the Scripture that people fast, not just one. They fast for a lot of different purposes or because of a lot of different circumstances. 2 Samuel 12, fasting during a time of sickness. 1 Kings 19, Elijah fasting for 40 days. In fact, he did that twice. 1 Kings 21 is an example of fasting being used for illegitimate purposes. People can try to manipulate God for wrong reasons. It doesn't work, but this is an example of somebody doing that. 1 Kings 21, another example of people fasting to repent of sin. And you can read these passages on your own at home and learn more about it. But 2 Chronicles 20, the nation was about to be attacked by an enemy and the king declared a national time of fasting. Ezra chapter 8, a journey, a spiritual pilgrimage. And so they were praying for safety as they traveled. Nehemiah chapter 1, praying, fasting before a big decision and asking for God to give them favor with some people in the effort they were undertaking. Nehemiah chapter 9, fasting for spiritual cleansing and healing. Esther chapter 4, fasting during a time of persecution. Jeremiah 36, fasting as part of a worship celebration. Daniel chapter 9, fasting because they were seeking God's guidance in dealing with a particular problem. Jonah chapter 3, the whole city fasted as part of their repentance and turning from sin, asking forgiveness. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus began his public ministry with 40 days of fasting and being with God. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said that if you want to have spiritual power, you need to fast. Acts chapter 9, Saul, whose name was changed to Paul after he got saved, spent 3 days fasting after his salvation experience. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, who was a spiritual seeker, was fasting in his effort to seek God and find God. Acts 13 is the passage we're going to study today. Acts chapter 14, fasting before the church had its leaders appointed. Acts chapter 23, Another example of people trying to use fasting for evil purposes, Acts 27, fasting when their life was in danger, when it was at risk. And those are just some of the examples. One of the things that you should note from that is that they were always seeking God, but for a lot of different reasons. The essence of fasting is denying yourself for a period of time so you can seek God for a specific purpose. And there were a lot of different purposes and reasons they were seeking God in these biblical examples. The Apostle Paul said of himself that he fasted often, that it was a regular part of his spiritual journey to fast. He did it often. Jesus Christ not only fasted, but talking about his followers, you and me, said, when you fast, not if, but when. Now, keep this in mind. The New Testament nowhere prescribes how often we are to fast. It just says when we do it. It's a choice that we make. It's sort of like the Lord's Supper. Nowhere does the New Testament say you are to observe the Lord's Supper or communion this many times. Jesus just said, as often as you do it, and we choose based on what we feel the Holy Spirit leading us to do, we choose how often. Same thing with fasting. So there's no prescribed formula in the Bible that you need to fast every week or every day or once a month or once a year or any other schedule. That's a personal choice. That's a choice we make as a church. But Jesus did have the expectation that as his children, we would fast. So he said, when you fast, here's how you do it. Just like as often as you observe the Lord's Supper, here's what it means and here's how you're supposed to do it. And so I'm going to talk about fasting today because I'm asking this church and therefore I'm asking myself and you to spend some time fasting. And you'll notice I've titled this message, Fasting and the Innovative Work of the Holy Spirit. The reason for that is that we need the Holy Spirit to guide us and show us how he wants us to do some things going forward as a family of faith. And there's examples in Scripture of him doing that. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 13 as we study our text today. The book of Acts chapter 13. Last Sunday I shared with you that for the next several months, our theme is going to be this one word, unhindered. It comes from the last word in the Greek text of the book of Acts. When Paul was under arrest, but he was preaching the gospel unhinderedly. No one limiting him, hindering him, preventing him, nothing stopping him, unhindered. And that what we're going to do is seek God's help because there are challenges, there are issues that hinder us, that limit our effectiveness and our evangelism and our growth as a family of faith. And we're starting the process of looking at all of that and saying, God, show us how to go forward. What's the strategies? What do you need us to do? What do you want us to do? So that we can, in this moment, not be hindered. And our reaching people and developing people spiritually and in our efforts as a family of faith. And so we're just going to focus on that. I'm going to preach from the book of Acts for several months under this theme of unhindered. And in the book of Acts, fasting is part of the story. Many times when God showed up and did something significant, prayer and fasting was part of it. We'll talk about prayer in the weeks to come, but today I want to focus on fasting. And by the way, before we look at the passage, Acts 13, yesterday we had the first meeting of this task force. Over 30 people met for 3 hours Saturday morning. And great group of men and women who love the Lord and love this church. We had a great meeting, a lot of enthusiasm and anticipation of what God is going to do. A lot of energy in the room, a great spirit. And about half of them were in our first service and about half attend this service. And by the way, just so some, we had their names in the bulletin last Sunday, but those on the task force who are in this service, so you can know who they are and be praying for them. If you're on the task force and you're in this room right now, would you go ahead and stand up so people can see and know who you are? If you're on the task, go ahead and stand up right now, wherever you are around the room. Look around the room, pick out one of these and pray, commit to pray for them. And by the way, they're going to be giving up a lot of time for the next few months. Would you say thank you to them for their efforts to help us? Now, I want you to look in Acts 13. Let's learn how the Holy Spirit works and how fasting can be part of what you and I do as Christians, our spiritual disciplines that put us in a position for God to lead us and guide us and show us some innovative things. Now, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, says there were at the church, there were in Antioch in the church that was there. And by the way, from my perspective, the great church in the book of Acts is not the church in Jerusalem that's mentioned in the first three chapters. And in the weeks to come, you'll understand why I say that. That was a good church. But the great church in the book of Acts was not that church. It was this church at Antioch. And you show up every Sunday for the next few weeks, and you'll begin to understand why I make that statement. I think I'm on solid biblical ground for saying that. So here you have this great church in Antioch. Antioch, listen. Antioch was one of the largest cities in the world. It was a very diverse city, racially, culturally, religiously. And in the middle of it was this outstanding, growing, evangelistic church that God was using. In fact, if you and I want to know how to do church effectively in today's culture, because today's culture looks more like the culture of the first century than at any time in most of our lives. See, the culture in America of 50 years ago did not look like the culture of the first century. And some struggle with all of that change. Well, I can't worry about that. You can't worry about that, because this is the day in which we live, and God's called us to do His work in this time. Right? Well, if I want to know how to do it in this culture, there's a great example here, because this city of Antioch was so much like modern America. See, God doing a great work does not depend on the culture. Did you get that? It depends on His people. And if we become a little more concerned about ourselves seeking Him and being His people and being the church He's called us to be, if we be a little more concerned about that, then we see God do some incredible things. Because you see, the culture can be right and nobody love God. That's not the issue. I know I went to meddling there a little bit, but that's okay. And in that church, he says there were prophets and teachers, and then he names them. And the first name mentioned and the last name mentioned in verse 1 are Barnabas and Saul. Saul's the guy who got saved on the road to Damascus. His name was changed to Paul, became a missionary, wrote half our New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And so Barnabas and Paul are two of these teachers, pastors, preachers in this great church at Antioch. And now, notice verse 2, he says, while they were ministering to the Lord and what? Talk to me, church. What were they doing in verse 2? While they were ministering or serving the Lord and what? What? Say it again. Some of you, that word just doesn't come easily. Say it again. They were what? Shout it. They were what? So they were serving the Lord, ministering to the Lord, and fasting. And while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, for the work to which I have called them. What he had called them to do is be missionaries. Now, that doesn't strike you and me as very innovative. We had a big missions conference last November. Missionaries here from all over the world. But do you understand this is where that got started? We are on this side of that event, and there's nothing innovative about it to you and me. But in the book of Acts, prior to that experience, everybody who went somewhere else went because they were being persecuted and they ran somewhere else. But when they went, they still told people about Jesus, and that's how a lot of the early churches got started. But it wasn't the intentional mission sending enterprise that you and I are familiar with today. This is where it started, and it was kind of innovative. See, God already knows the strategies we need to follow as a family of faith. He already knows the kind of people we need to be. But we got to listen to Him so we can know what He knows. Right? And I want you to notice, God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit about what to do and how to do it while they were serving Him and fasting. Now, notice, verse 3, then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They heard from God, then they prayed and fasted and laid hands on them and sent them out. They obeyed what God said. Now, notice, fasting's on both sides of that event. Praying and serving and fasting was on the front side. Then they heard from God. Then praying and fasting was on the back side of it as they obeyed what God told them. Now, does that say to you and me that seeking God, and being in His presence is something we need to do if we want to hear His voice, and then after hearing His voice, as we seek to obey what He says, we need to seek Him some more, seek His presence some more, pray and fast so that as we do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the seeking God through fasting and prayers on both sides of it. And that's what I'm calling us to do. Now, I'm not going to talk about 2 weeks down the road, 3 weeks down the road, a month down the road. I'll talk about that in the weeks to come. Here's what I want to say. Right now, this week, this coming week, I'm asking us to fast. Now, I'm going to let you know how to do that. And it won't look the same for everybody in the room. You're going to have a lot of freedom, a lot of choice in how you do it. But I'm asking everyone who's a part of this family of faith to say, I'm going to seek God for myself and for this church through some form of fasting this week. And you choose the day and how you fast. So let me give you some insight on how you can do this, and I hope you'll jot these things down. Now, the first thing about fasting is you have to know why you're fasting. Fasting at its essence is about seeking God, submitting ourselves to God, hearing from God. It's going after God, seeking God. That's the essence of fasting. And what I'm asking us to do this week is to seek God, to fast and seek God for the purpose of asking Him to show us the way forward. As we address challenges that are limiting our effectiveness, for God to show us the way, God to speak to us, show us the way forward, and for us to hear what He says. And by the way, you're not just fasting saying, God, show this task force and the members of it, show us, show me. Prepare my heart for what you're going to do and show and say. That's the purpose for this fast. Now, some decisions you need to make. One is, what kind of fast will it be for you? In the Bible, most fasting is giving up all food. Drink liquids. There are a few examples of people for a day or two giving up liquids, but I don't tend to encourage that for most people. But the normal fast in Scripture is giving up all food for a particular period of time, and that can vary. We'll talk about that in a second. But you also have in the Bible what we call partial fast. A partial fast is not giving up all food. It's giving up some food. For instance, I think it was Daniel in the Old Testament who one of his fasts, and by the way, Daniel fasted for 40 days, but another time he was fasting, what he did was he gave up, how's it translated? I think it's about, well, let me, Steve Hawk, paraphrase it. He gave up anything that tasted good, well-pleasing food, okay? So if it tasted good, he didn't eat it. That was his fast. It was a partial fast. That's one example, okay? For a lot of us guys, I mean, how many of you guys are like me? If you sit down to eat dinner, and if there's not bread, it's not a meal. Anybody? Without bread, it's just not dinner if there's no bread. I don't care what it is. You got to have bread. It could be chocolate for you. Any chocolate fiends in here? Coffee. That one would kill me. See, I'd rather go on an all-food fast and keep my liquids and drink coffee than go on a partial fast and give up coffee. Coffee, okay? Whatever it is, a partial fast, all-food fast. But you can also fast by giving up something other than food. In Corinthians, Paul talks to married couples about how the sexual relationship, the intimate relationship of a husband and wife is a gift from God, and they're not to deprive one another, they're to bless one another. But there are times when they can abstain by mutual agreement for the purposes of prayer and seeking God. You can give up other things. Do you know that some of us in this room, the best fast we could do is to give up television for a week or 2 weeks? There are some in this room that would hurt a whole lot more than giving up food. And you discover all of a sudden there's time to read the Bible, and there's time to pray, and there's time to talk to my wife or my husband or my kids. Right? So you got to decide how you're going to fast. Is it going to be all food, some food? Is it going to be something else? And then you need to decide how long are you going to fast. Is it for a day, 2 days, a week? I mean, giving up TV probably won't help you a whole lot if you just do it for one day. So how long are you going to fast? And that flexibility helps those of you who have health issues. You can pattern a fast that doesn't jeopardize your health at all. Okay? Now, another thing is you've got to think about, is this going to be a fast when I spend a day on a spiritual retreat, so to speak? Or maybe I don't have time for that this week. Some of you may choose on a Saturday to say, you know, I'm going to spend that whole day with God, so I'm not going to do anything else. I'm going to go somewhere, and I'm going to read my Bible all day, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to write in my journal, and I'm going to reflect. I'm just going to listen to God. I'm going to spend the day with God on a spiritual retreat. You have fast like that in the Bible. Most of us in the room won't do that this week. Because in the Bible, many fasts happen while people are going about their normal routine, their daily routine. So you get up and you go to work and you come home and you clean the kids and you cook dinner and whatever you do, you do. How do you fast when you have a normal routine? Well, you do your normal routine. But if you're fasting food, you get up a little bit earlier and spend just a few moments praying and reading the Bible to set your focus for the day and remember why you're fasting, and you end your day that way. During lunch, I mean, you get 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour for lunch. Well, you're not eating lunch because you're fasting. And so you take that time and you go somewhere and you read your Bible and you write in your journal and you spend it with God. And throughout the day, when you feel all those little, you know, twitches and things in your stomach, you know what I'm talking about? We call them hunger pains. They're really not hunger pains. You know that. You're nowhere near the point of starvation 4 hours after you start your fast. Okay? And a lot of us have a lot of stored up stuff, so we're okay. We're not at any risk. But you're going to feel some stuff, right? See, fasting is about denying myself something that I like, something I want, something I enjoy, something I normally have, so I can focus on God, so I can seek God in place of it. And so every time you have one of those little, you know, just little little twisting of your gut. You know, every time you have something like that, is to remind you what you're doing and that you're seeking God. And you breathe a prayer, God, thank you for being my God. And God, I pray right now that you will show me and show our church and show our pastor and show the task force the way forward, and that you'll help us hear your voice. And so every time you feel something in your body, it's to remind you of why you're fasting. You just breathe a prayer for it. Now, does that give you a pretty fair amount of flexibility in how you design your fast? You just got to ask God, how are you going to do it? How does he want you to do it? And then do it. So, when are you going to do it? So in the Bible, fasting is both personal and private and corporate. Sometimes it was just an individual fasting alone to God and nobody knew about it. And Jesus said, we're not to make a show of it. We're not to do it for grandstanding purposes. But you also have in the Bible groups of people fasting together and times when a large group of people were called to a corporate fast. I'm calling us as a church to a corporate fast this week, seeking God so we can hear from God. And I'm asking you as an individual follower of Jesus Christ to choose the day this week and choose the format of your fast. Now, if you don't make the decision now or real soon after church today, you probably won't do it at all. Because you'll have good intention, but you'll get distracted. So right now, what day are you thinking? What's the first thing that popped in your mind? This is the day I could do that. What kind of fast? All food? Partial? Partial fast? Some food? If so, what food? Or something other than food? And if something other than food, what? And how long will it last? A day? More than one day? How long will it last? And can I ask you to do something for me? I'd really appreciate it if you'd do something for me this week. Email me here at the church about your experience. Tell me about it. What it was like. What God said. What happened. What was it like for you? Now, don't write me a book. A little paragraph. Okay? I don't have time to read 1,000 books. I can read a few sentences, you know, from a lot of people, but not books from everybody. So just give me a summary of what it was like, what God did. I really want to hear. Especially, listen, and for some of you, this is going to be the first time you've ever fasted. Try it. Don't be intimidated. Try it. Try it. See, fasting is not dieting. Some of you tried to diet and you had bad experiences. Fasting is not dieting, even though sometimes in our secular culture, they associate the word fasting with dieting. No, fasting, biblical fasting, Christian fasting is abstaining from something for the purpose of seeking God for a specific reason. There's a difference. Now, it's good for you physically, but that's not the reason you do it. So email me and tell me a little bit about it. Let me close with this. How many of you have ever had an experience like this? You're hungry. You're really hungry. You really, 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 really want something to eat. And you're home, and you look through the pantry and the cabinets and the fridge and the freezer, and you look, and the more you look, there's nothing there that you want. Can I get a witness? You ever had? It's horrible, isn't it? And then you end up gorging on something you really don't want because you can't find anything. Here's the thing. When you go looking for God, He's always there. The problem is usually not with God. It's we don't go looking often enough. So pick a day this week that you will look for God in this very special way. Read your Bible, pray. Journal about it. Focus on Him for the day. And God will speak to you during the day. But here's something else. Do you know that because you do this, for many of you, there will be a moment, a few days down the road or a few weeks down the road, all of a sudden it's like light comes on. And God's going to show you something. And it all goes back to the day you spent seeking Him. The answer doesn't always come the very moment you seek. And the other thing is this. Your seeking God is going to help us as a family of faith hear His voice. Because this church can't hear God if this church doesn't seek God. And this church can't seek God without the people in this room seeking Him, because you is the church. Right? You is the church. And the only way for this church to seek God is for you to seek Him. Now, if we don't want to be hungry for God, if we have no interest in hearing from God, if we don't care about the future, we're just happy and satisfied and content, and God, we don't want any more. God, we don't want Your blessings. We don't want Your miracles. We don't want to see people reach for Christ. We don't care. God, we're just content. I'm okay. Then don't do anything. Just don't do anything. But if you want this church to know God's future, and you want God's power on this church, and you want to see people saved, and you want to see miracles happen, and you want to see us go forward in the will of God, then join us in seeking Him. Let's stand. And as we sing, you make your way to the altar and pray. Maybe committing to fast on a particular day, or repenting of a sin, or talking to God about some issue in your life. There are men and women who need to join this church. We invite you to come. We'd love to have you as part of our family of faith. Some of you need to give your heart to Christ. So as Jamie and I stand here at the front, you make your way to where we are and say, here's the decision I'm making today, Pastor. Or just come and kneel here and pray at the altar. Let's sing together. You come right now.
Come just as